Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the near season finale of Saturday Draft Live. We're getting to the final stages here, and it's all set to crown a new champion of the ESSR Draft. As always, I am Jack Graham, and you're listening to the Suplex Retweet Extra feed, and you can find us on Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, anywhere you've got podcasts, you can bloody well find us. Our Twitter page, Suplex Retweet. Same with Instagram, we've got the Facebook page, we've got the community group, get involved with that. Our YouTube channel, we've got a lot of stuff going on there, we've got a showdown and conspiracy theory, so plenty of ways to come check us out. And as always, I'm joined by the ever-present panel of Saturday Draft Live for this season. I've got Scott McLeod, how are we doing?
Very good, Jack. I'm looking forward to the season finally being over.
It's something that we're all wishing for, I think. It's just only a week or so left, we're nearly there. Dave, are you thinking the same? You want this to be over?
Yeah, very big sigh of relief. You know, I think we've been on the same talking points for the last few weeks now, and I think it's going to come that time where everything's going to be done and dusted.
I'm looking forward to that, but I will say that we were going to have a special guest on this show. It was going to be our current ranked number one draftee, the Mr. X My Podcast, the tyrant of the ESSR draft, Stephen Wilson, has once again neglected to come on the show. It's piss poor at this point, David, isn't it?
Tell me about it. Like, we've been saying for weeks now, we need to get him on, explain his actions and, you know, how his team got so successful when he's the one that's put all this together. So it definitely raised a few eyebrows why he's avoiding any scrutiny today.
And as Scott, it's been clear, you know, we've all been affected by Stephen's rulings in some sort of way, be it the start or the middle or come near the end of this draft. Are you quite disappointed in no show on the show?
Yeah, Stephen Wilson, he had a lot to answer for. And I know he was going to act the smug prick given how big of a lead he's got. And then he said plenty of time to come on and explain himself and answer the hard-hitting questions that we had prepared for him, the questions that everybody wants to know the answers to, but he's avoiding us once again, and I don't want to give too much away, but next week we are having another guest on, and hopefully that guest will be a bit more professional and keep their commitments.
We'll hope that that person sticks to their word and they'll appear and make it the greatest way to end the season, you know what I mean? But we'll batter on with what we do, and we'll go on the top three of the week, and maybe no surprise here, Scott. You know, Sasha Banks still finds her way in the top three, getting 8 points over the week. You know, a brilliant coup by Gary, and someone that must be quite sought after come the first couple of rounds. Not even the first couple of rounds, the first round of the draft next season.
Oh, yeah, definitely. The thing with Sasha, I think she's only proved to be a better pick as the seasons went on. And as I'm sure we'll talk about Bailey not being in the top three this week. She, I think it's also due to the fact that she lost on Raw, so that'll hinder her chances. Not that it will really affect Stephen Wilson's performance, like, draft-wise. But it's weird that Sasha is the captaincy points and the championship advantage. She's got all this purely based on just being there. Because, like, she was just in Bailey's corner. She was there to watch the Battle Royal on SmackDown, basically, after appearing occasionally in backstage segments, so pretty impressive she's able to get this map points purely just by appearing.
It is quite some feat. And someone that's kind of been teetering in between the top three, Dave, since the kind of captaincy change that Alan McGlick has put on Cody, he's found himself in second place for the top three of the week with 9 points, mm-hmm. with another successful TNT title retention. But obviously, next week's Dynamite is going to be on Saturday night, so we won't have that recorded come the leaderboard next week. That'll be something that will come after we find out the results of the draft. That I don't know if it will affect Alan that much, but still, still a good person to have in your team, isn't it?
Yeah, it's obviously Cody's definitely proved dividends, given that, you know, he's got the captaincy advantage on Allen's team, and he's also been defending the TNT championships more or less on a weekly basis. I think the only time he's not done it is when he was tag teaming with Matt Cardona against the Dark Order. And Cody himself, you know, he was actually a very low pick in this season. You know, I think he was picked number 34 overall, and he's sitting comfortably at number 4 in the top 10 this season with 111 points. The only disadvantage about this is that he's the only one who's really scoring any big points on Allen's team, and it's reflective in the rankings so far. So, I mean, it's good that, you know, he's got a strong performer, but he's just not supported by, like, a full team of strong performers.
Obviously, that was his strongest pick, and I think a lot of folks, obviously, mainly Scott, thought that Lance Archer would have won the TNT tournament and become the first champion, but alas...
That wind is still fresh.
He is facing Brody Lee for the net. It looks like he's facing Brody Lee for the next title defense. So who knows? You know, if things could end on a sour note for Cody this season.
Well, it's too little, too late for Brody Lee and Jack Graham. You know what I mean? It's over. It's. I would like to see him. Just like out with the draft, it'd be good to see Brody Lee the title and good to the Dark Order. A lot of good, but. He done me dirty getting thrown into that world title weight table feud too quick and not appearing for a few weeks. And unfortunately, I had to draft him out. But one person that's the greatest newcomer in draft history, Asuka, sits pretty at the top of the table after beating Bayley on Raw and then surprisingly being an entrant in the tri-brand Battle Royale and winning that. And she'll now go on to face Sasha and Bayley, but for both the SmackDown and Raw women's title matches at SummerSlam. Scott, this could throw quite a spanner in the works come next week if there's a very, very, not a high chance, but there's a chance nonetheless that Asuka could have both belts by the end of SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's unlikely, but you know, it could happen, and it's really good for Ross because that's taking him over the 300 mark. So he's sitting quite comfortably, even though it doesn't look like he'll win, because I don't think, you know, if Asuka wins one of those matches, she'll probably lose the other, and they can all counter itself out, and I don't think it'll be enough to close the gap between even between the people that are above him, like Guy and Steven. And then I remember watching, like, seeing the results of this match and seeing Asuka about Royal, and I'm like, You had Shayna Baszler in that Battle Royal. You had Bianca Belair in that Battle Royal. You had Shotzi Blackheart. You had Tegan Knox there. And you had Asuka win. If Charlotte already had a Raw Women's title shot and then came in and said, oh, I'm going to win this Battle Royal and I've shot the SmackDown title, people would be going after him, not. No one would be annoyed about this because it's Asuka.
No, definitely. I know what you mean. It's quite a weird one. I was surprised they went down this route, Dave. I don't know if maybe you feel the same here, but draft-wise, as I was saying to Scott, there could be a potential spanner in the works. Just, do you see it going any other way?
Honestly, this took me completely by surprise, and I think it's SummerSlam's tagline pretty much summed up. You never saw it coming, because you know you saw Asuka was already booked to face Sasha at SummerSlam. She would have been the last person to expect to see win this Battle Royal, and it's... But, you know, it's as Ross's captain, you know, it's a big point scoring week for Asuka. So here's hoping, you know, if she follows through with it at SummerSlam, you know, Ross could potentially score some big points towards the end of the season. Now, it may not be enough necessarily to catch Stevie, but I think it would just be a good morale booster, you know, if Ross finishes as highly as possible. Because he has been I've said this on past shows as well, Ross has been a very, very consistent draft performer. And if he gets second place this time around, it'll be his second place finish. So he's ever so close to snatching the number one place. Asuka, though, currently on 99 points overall. So just one more appearance next week will bump her into the triple digit figures. And she's definitely been a very, very... consistent performer for Ross's team, and that's how he's been able to get so high in the rankings.
I think given also we have a week left, and I'll say SummerSlam is the big final place to get those points. With Ross, he could have a big finish that would probably at best leave him finishing second, because like I said, you have the Asuka thing to think about whether or not she'll even win either of her matches. Yeah, the Street Profits defend the tag titles, like whether or not the Andrade and Garza dissension will be enough to help the Street Profits retain. And also recently John Moxley retaining the AEW title. So I think it's good for Ross to have this kind of finish, given the last few weeks most of the teams suddenly seemed inactive for one reason or another, because like Aleister Black's doing bugger all at the minute. It's also good for us that we're not having All Out as part of this season, because I don't see John Moxley coming out of All Out as champion, so Moxley staying champion for the ending of this season is good for us, because I don't think he can afford to lose any points given how close he is.
Aye, definitely, but we'll crack on as we always do into the top 10, and as always, Ryan Gallagher, he'll be wanting this season to be ended rapid and move on to the next one post-haste. He's only on 109 points, but a change in ninth position. Daniel Campbell is at 108.5 points, and yes, that's right, Jack Graham, boom, eighth position, 182.5 points.
Hey,
things you love to see. Come on.
You're moving up in the world.
Oh, but I'm only like 4.5 points behind Alan,
yep,
I think.
Four and a half, yep.
Yeah, because he's seventh for 187, so you know there's every chance. And I've got quite a few things that might go favourably my way come SummerSlam, so here's hoping that maybe I don't finish in that kind of bottom three. Mm-hmm. Dave, you know, you're at 119.5 points with six, but Scott's broke the 200 mark as he's been for quite a while, and he's 213. Do you see yourself gaining enough points to overtake Scott?
Well, how much is in it? Like 15 points, give or take? I mean, it's certainly possible, given, you know, if Andrade and Angel Garza capitalize on the Raw Tag Team Championships, and AJ Styles is defending the Intercontinental title against Jeff Hardy next week as well. So, I mean, there's every chance I could end up overtaking Scott and crack the top five. Although, I'm actually rooting for you now, Jack, because you're only... you're less than 5 points behind Alan. If you overtake him, that puts all three of us in the same bit. You know, we'll be 5, 6, 7 if we're lucky. So
nice
Saturday
Draft
Boys right
show.
In the middle of it all. Yep, right in the middle of it all.
One person that's not in the middle. Will we see him break the 300-point mark? We probably will come next week. Grant McRobbie's at 293 points of fourth. As previously mentioned, Ross is third. He's broke the 300-point mark in 304. Gary's second at 330. And as always, Stephen Wilson at the top, 385.5 points. Will we see the potential breaking of the 400-point barrier this season, Scott?
Like I said, it depends. I think Bailey, if either between her and Sasha, if one of them's going to lose their belt at SummerSlam, it's going to be her. But even then, I don't think that's enough to hurt him that much. So even if he doesn't break 400, he's still got this. What I want to know is, looking at this table, where are all these sudden half points coming from? Because like, at least four people on this table are getting half points. Like, where are all these sudden half points coming from?
I think I got a half point. It was when Shayna and Nia are meant to have a match, and it like the brawl happened, and all the staff got assaulted and whatnot. So I think I got a half point from there.
Yeah, as did I, because I've got Nia Jax in my team. It was ruled a no contest, and the rule is if it's a no contest, both participants get half a point.
I'm pretty sure Daniel's something to do with Adam Cole, but I can't quite mind Stephen. I've got no clue about. You never know when it comes to Stephen and points. So
I think that the half point might also refer to champions' advantage as well, because you know, Stevie's got quite a good number of champions on his team. He's got Apollo Crews, he's got Kenny Omega, he's got Imperium. You know, any of those half points could have come from there. And speaking of Kenny Omega, you know, I'm going to take a page out of my captain's book. I'm going to adopt the PIS system, the phenomenal intercontinental statistics system that was debuted. Kenny Omega has now broke the top 10 with 51 points. So, I mean, if Stevie's team couldn't get any stronger, his AEW representative has now also broken into the top 10 along with Bailey.
Scott, to answer your question for Stephen as well, it's Apollo Crews that has a half point for Steven's team.
Fucking useless that Apollo Crews, fucking no even showing up to defend his belt. I mean, load of fish, so it is.
Yeah.
I mean, Gary on his team as well, he's got Candice Array at 25.5 and New Day at 31.5, so obviously that'll make the whole point. But there is actually quite a few half points scattered around everyone's teams in some way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Dave, you thought about, if Jack moves up above Allen, then the three of us will be in like 5, 6, and 7. It just goes to show how badly this last half of the season's gone for the three of us. That's what we're trying to. If we were, well, you said if we're lucky, if we were really lucky, we'd be finishing 1, 2, and 3 between the three of us.
Well, adopting the piss system once more, I'd actually like to throw some more statistics your way, guys, because us boys here at the Saturday Draft Live team, we've actually done pretty well following the transfer window, because I'm looking at the rank of transfers window effect, and currently the three of us are ranked the top three post the transfer window. Like, because I'm at the top with 68 points after the transfer. Scott, you've got 62, and Jack, you have 46. So, and that puts us in the top three after the draft. So I'd say we've actually done pretty well following the draft. It's just other areas of our team who we decided to keep on have started to possibly cool down. Because in my case, for example, like Nia Jax has been indefinitely suspended now, so we might not see her until after the season's over. So that could be a potential points loss from my perspective. Scott, your original captain, Charlotte Flair, is taking time off TV as well. And
selfish.
Yep. And Jack, I think you're a bit hasty switching the captaincy from Shayna Baszler, because she is still your top scorer by quite a bit.
Yeah, I think that I was trying to get points too quick, as it's been said a lot in this series, a marathon, not a sprint. And when I got to the halfway point, I saw where I was, and I knew that the next week the Iconics were facing Sasha and Bayley for the women's tag titles. I was like, that's an easy way for me to get my points back that I've missed. Yeah, but alas, that's never happened. Maybe I should have put my captaincy on Randy Orton, but I didn't think he'd be in this prominent position at that time. I thought he'd just get a good few showings here and there. I thought maybe the Big Show feud would have dragged it quite a bit, but alas, you know, you live and learn. I'm still happy with the transfers that were made, but it's, you know, you take it on the chin and you carry on. Something that's quite interesting, though, I've said this before, the table without captain points, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously Stephen still at the top with 286 points and 0, but I would be fifth. I'd be fifth place if there was no captain points. And I'm sorry to say this, Scott, you'd be dead last if there was no such thing as a captain here.
Yeah. I made some mistakes here. I mean, I didn't realise just how much Charlotte would be carrying my team. And, well, I'm pretty sure I had better picks before I picked Austin Theory in mind, and I panicked because it was my last pick and went with Austin Theory for some reason. A decision I very much regret.
Well,
I need a strong undercard rather than just focusing on my main event of my team.
I think that's probably my problem as well. I'll quickly check what my team is, because I can't even remember off the top of my head. But, there we go. I have Shayna Baszler. That's a fair enough pick. I think come the first round, I picked Shayna Baszler. Fine, whatever. Mandy Rose. I will say she's let me down quite a bit. I will say she's let me down quite a bit.
SummerSlam.
She could be bald by the end of SummerSlam.
I know, I can see it happening as well. Kind of feel.
I think Ross's heart would just break knowing that, because he really likes Mandy Rose a lot.
But I thought that, obviously, I thought this feud would have got to a certain point before now. So, obviously, COVID and things have, like, interrupted that, because they both had to take, like, the month off or whatever it was. And it kind of slowed things down. But that is what it is. Karrion Kross, I'm fine with that. It is what it is with that as well. Brody Lee tore my heart apart, but transferred them in for Santos Escobar, and he's not really set the world on fire, but maybe he can get a few points come the end.
The only thing about Escobar is he's got one or two wins on 205 Live, but for whatever reason we're not counting that, even though we can pick people who are part of the Cruiserweight division who will appear on NXT but you can only get the points when they appear in NXT, not when they show up on 205 Live, which I think is a rule that needs to be rethought in the seasons to come.
I mean, this is something we could have asked him, Mr. Stephen Wilson, but alas, he's not here, just running away as he always does.
You see, something we needed to ask him was, like, how is Raw Underground going to affect the rules? I mentioned this last week. And you had Shayna Baszler, you know, it's been a struggle whether or not you get the proper points you deserve from Shayna. And she demolished three people in one on Raw Underground, but Stephen said, oh, it doesn't count as an official match, it was a fight or whatever. Like, what are exactly the rules with Raw Underground? Because it doesn't look like this is going away, because it's made a little bit of a bump in the rain, so Derby's going to see that and think this is a success, let's run with this. So I think, you, especially for the early part of the season, this is going to be still around. So
to be fair to Stephen, he did give me the points for Shayna as it was three wins, because obviously she gets the appearance of being on Underground, and then she got three lots of 2 points for demolishing each of them, so that took it to seven. And then Shayna was on the Tri-Brand Battle Royale, so that's 8 points. So, I mean, she's tied with Sasha Banks this week.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe some clarity would help, but we're never going to get that, unfortunately. But this is something that I kind of been wanting to ask about. Dave, I'll come on you first.
Uh-huh.
Has Raw Underground put any thoughts in your head about how you want to draft next season?
Actually, it has, because I know you guys on the Raw Report were talking about, you know, what's the impact that Raw Underground's going to have. You know, are people who are not regularly featured on Raw, like the main, like in the ring and stuff, like those that don't get featured as much, you know, they're going to be probably featured on Raw Underground a lot more. And one name that really stood out, you know, somebody who I'd completely forgotten about, like, because he was a joke in the 24/7 championship scene, but has actually shown to be quite a formidable fighter in Raw Underground, is Riddick Moss. You know, this could be an opportunity, you know, if we take Ryan's strategy of going for outside bets, so, you know, someone who could rack up easy points just by appearing and winning on Raw Underground. You know, guys like Riddick Moss, guys like Dolph Ziggler, guys like the Viking Raiders, you know, they've been featured on there. And even there was mention of Babatunde's new character. I forget what his new name is, but
Double Kai or something.
That's him, yeah. Aye, so the man formerly known as Babatunde, you know, guys like that, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if people were choosing them to be, you know, maybe final round picks, just to sort of take a punt where things stand with Raw Underground. But what I'm more interested in is, how are we going to score the points there? Like, is it going to be included the same way as a match? Like, the more opponents you win against, the more points you rack up. Will it just be 1 point per match win? I believe that's going to be the case. But my God, is it going to be a pain to try and count? You know, because you'll have to keep an eye on how many opponents you have. You know, how many times would you appear? How many segments will it be on? And that's not including outside appearances from those you regularly see on TV. Like, you know, what influence is the Hurt Business going to have as a result? Because it looks like they're going to have a commanding presence on that show. So it really is the world is your oyster when it comes to picking folk who you might see appear on Raw Underground.
Scott, same to you. Has Raw Underground got you thinking about how you're going to draft next season?
Not entirely. I mean, like, I've got MVP on my team, and like you said, the Hurt Business got involved, and then they weren't there the next week, so I don't know how much of a factor they're actually going to play in it. Because I do think MVP and Bobby Lashley, and even Benjamin, if they're going to keep this association going throughout past SummerSlam, I do think they're a pick worth looking at. I do look forward to the selection show for next season. Like, come to the third and fourth round, people are starting to get desperate. Like, oh, the valuable picks like David Kato and Buddy Arturo Ruas getting snapped up before anybody else gets them.
And you speak about the draft show when we make our teams next season. I've got a bit of news to tell you about that, about how the ranking is going to happen. As we all know, the winner of this season will draft 10th, and that'll no doubt be Stephen Wilson. But something that's kind of been a commonality with the start of each season, you find out the draft order on the last episode of the previous season. So if it was going to be normal, we'd be announcing next week the kind of draft order. Not this time, Sunshine. No. I've had words with Stephen Wilson, and you know, I wanted a little bit of space, you know, spice it up, get a bit more exciting. We will be finding out on the day when it's happening, when we're recording, when it's live for Saturday Draft Live. The order will be made there and then. So we'll be, boom, all names will be put into a pot, and then the name that comes out of the pot will be the person that drafts first, and then they make a selection, and then same for 2, 3, 4. So that adds that. I think it's a good way of maybe trying to eliminate pre-draft strategies, so to speak, in a way. Scott, what's your take on what will be happening next season?
I like it. It forces people to get kind of creative, I think, because you don't know who you're going to get, and you need to think of like backups for in case your pick gets chosen first. And especially like if you get there and like, oh, okay, three people went ahead of you and you're still not being picked, you need to start thinking then and there who you're going to pick, because like, especially if we're getting down to like the last couple before Stephen, because you know, Stephen Wilson now knows he's going to be probably drafting last, so he's already probably thinking of a strategy knowing him, but everybody else is going to be a case of thinking on your feet.
Dave, you know, how do you feel that like the draft order won't be predetermined before we do the draft show?
I like this idea because it really gets people to improvise, you know, in a lot of ways, because you know, they might have a set plan going into it, but they, you never know, something could completely derail everything going forward. Like, I remember in particular the season 4 kickoff, you know, we knew the order beforehand, but at the same time, like, you know, people were swerving left, right and center. Like, Scott, you took Mizzen Morrison from the GOAT David Campbell. I took Rhea Ripley when everybody assumed that I was going to pick Adam Cole. You know, it's moments like this that make the draft so exciting, and it creates memorable moments. But now that we're not knowing the order ahead of time, like, I think it's just going to amp up the excitement. And, you know, I'll be ready, you know, to draft first or draft second to last. Like, and I think what I will say to everybody else who's taking part, do your homework. You know, find out who's scoring big, who's a consistent draft performer, who's going to be, you know, on the build towards Survivor Series, who's going to be the champions around that time. Like, take all these things into consideration. Make a draft list ahead of time. You know, pick people you want and people you'd have a backup for. So yeah, that's me giving generously friendly advice to all the draft participants out there.
Yeah, well, none of that matters, Dave, because I'm putting it on blast right now. Next season, the Saturday Draft Live boys, first, second, third. Doesn't matter if it's me that's first, doesn't matter if it's Scott that's first, doesn't matter if it's Dave that's first. Us three will be the top three because we're the best goddamn folk in this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely right. And that's why I'm giving the advice out here, because I'm preparing them as best I can, and it doesn't even matter how well they're going to prepare because we'll still come out on top. So everybody else has no excuses when the Saturday Draft Live boys come out on top.
Mm-hmm. You're giving advice that people should listen to, and I've done that. I don't even know if some of these people, even the guys in our group, even listen to Saturday Draft Live, and I think you all should shame them for that on social media. But like, and that'll be their lesson learned next season, because when they see us in the top three, they'll be thinking, why didn't I listen more regularly to Saturday Draft Live? Why didn't I take in this advice? And well, fail to plan to fail.
Yep, the 5 P's. Poor planning prevents poor performance.
Hook, line and sinker. And on that, the show's over, folks. Dave, thanks for being here, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Scott, likewise, you know, the Saturday Draft Live OG. Thanks for coming on.
I'll always be here. I've only ever missed 1 week, but I don't plan on going away anytime soon.
And I have been Jack Graham, and we welcome you, the listeners, the fans of the draft. Tune in next week for the big season finale, where we break down everything going into SummerSlam. We talk about Stephen Wilson potentially winning the title. And keep in mind, we've got a special guest on for next week, so definitely tune in for that. You do not want to miss next week. I'll tell you that for free. See you later on.